not giving us any more than our bottoms can endure. So, just be doing a few verses because I wanted to get in the next section after this one. I want to really get into, you know, it'll be a little more complicated, and I wanted to take time and not feel like we had to rush through it. Paul will tell us here in this 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians that because of the way they are doing, observing the table of the Lord, they're weak and sick and dying. It's not because they weren't doing it. It's because of the way they were doing it. And that when they come together, there was divisions. And the offspring of division is death. He's heading for, of course, the 12th chapter, which is about gifts of the Spirit, the 13th chapter, which is about love, and the 14th chapter, how both of those come together and function in a church service. And the thing that I saw as I was getting ready and preparing was that the Lord really wants us to, during our love feast, our communion times, is to love one another. And so, just to make sure that I get it said, that when we have communion on Sunday mornings, the way that we do it, it's not exactly biblical, it's communion service. But make sure that you just don't return to your seat and sit there. Make sure you go to people and love them, particularly visitors, particularly people that are in, you see hurt on their face, and maybe you know they've had a bad week and are hurting. But the time to really love people is during the time of communion, time of the table of the Lord. So, as is our custom, since you've been giving the papers, I hope I've gotten one. I thought I did. Get one? Let's stand. Let's read the Word of the Lord together. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through 34. Tonight what we'll be looking at will be verse 17 through verse 22. We're going to be reading it all so we'll understand what he's really saying. Just read loud with me, please. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and let the rest I will settle when I come. Amen. Be seated. This should be a very important passage to us today. Could this be the reason that some of us are weak and sick, and maybe even why some of us die? Simply because, not that we have communion, but the way that we have communion. And when I say the way that we have communion, I'm basically speaking of how we individually look at communion. How we come to communion. The position and the condition of our heart. Is there division in us? Are you divided with the body of Christ? What Paul is saying here is, then you leave those things at home. You got a house to worry about that stuff in. When you come together in the house of the Lord, there should be nothing expressed but love. The love of God. The love one for another. It's most interesting to me that in the middle of Paul's discourse about Christian liberty, he begins to discuss the table of the Lord. He's changed his thought. He hasn't changed his topic. His topic is still Christian liberty. And now what he's going to deal with is how these Christians had taken the table of the Lord at a false liberty. And as you read, and I'm not going to be discussing it just right now, maybe later on, but you read that how they would come together and get drunk. I just want to make a statement. They didn't get drunk on grape juice. I just want us to know that. I want us to know that. I want us to have a biblical perspective. They come together in the house of the Lord, and they would have a party. And they weren't having grape juice. And we got to deal with that, people. We just got to come to the place where our minds are right concerning some things. Now, the first verse that we want to look at tonight is verse 17. We're only going to do verses 17 through 22. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you." And that word declare, it means to transmit a message. It actually means a command. He says then, It's now in this I transmit a message to you. And the message is the way that you're doing the communion table, the way you're doing and handling yourself in the house of the Lord is making many of you weak, many of you sick, many of you dying. So instead of coming together for good, he says, your coming together has been for bad. The way you're handling yourself in the house of the Lord, the way we're doing things, he says, is working bad and not good. So, what should be a blessing ends up working death. The table of the Lord was created for the blessing. Now, do you remember in chapter 10? Well, I'll tell you what, just if you open your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because I want to touch this. Do you remember in chapter 10, Paul gives a list here of things. He says that all of you came through the cloud, and all of you came through the sea, and all of you were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all of you ate the same spiritual food, and all of you drank the same spiritual drink. Remember, he says this, and the context of this is simply this, is that they're going to be judged. Even though they did all these spiritual things, all this stuff they went through, they were still died in the wilderness. And the thought is Paul is still thinking on those lines. And his thought is, just because we go through the motions of table of the Lord, if we're not allowing it to do its work in our heart and in our lives, we're just going through the motions. We're just going through the sea. We're just going through the cloud. We're just eating the manna. We're just drinking the blood. But we're still going to be dying in the wilderness. Chapter 10, verse 1. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." How many of them did? All of them did. This is very important. "And all were baptized unto Moses." How many of them were? All of them, in the cloud and in the sea. Spirit baptized and water baptized. "And all are in the ate the same spiritual food." They all had communion and all drank the same spiritual drink. He's likening it here to the table of the Lord, the spiritual drink. "For they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." So what they were drinking of, what they were partaking of, was the blood. That's the relationship that he's bringing in here. He says, nevertheless, with most of them, what happened to them? God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also crave. And he goes on. And his whole thought there is that, listen, having an experience and doing and going through the motions is not what it's about. What it's really about is, what's it doing in our lives? When we have communion, are we loving people? Are we looking into our lives? We have trouble sometimes with altars. Altars is a very scriptural word. All the way in the Old Testament you find about altars, but even in the New Testament, Jesus says that when you bring your gift to the altar. And when we're having communion and the Lord quickens something to us about a person or whatever, we need to go to that person and love that person and make sure that all straightened out. Division in the body of Christ works death. Because of this, he says, many of you are weak and sick and dying. So simply because we're water baptized or spiritual baptized, talking in tongues, or we're in the body of Christ, or we have communion every week, the emphasis is not in doing it. The emphasis is in how we're prepared to do it. I was thinking, as Pastor Tebow was giving us quiet time to listen for the Lord to bring a word, that I thought about myself this week. And I did not have a tongue. I did not have an interpretation. I did not have a prophecy to give. And the reason that I didn't is because I hadn't sought the Lord this week to give me one for today. Now, how many of you sought the Lord this week to give you a tongue or interpretation or prophecy for this Sunday, for this service? Anybody? Did you really take time and seek the Lord? Barry did. He had one. Must work, huh, Barry? Work. And so what I'm saying is, we want the power, but folks, we've got to prepare our hearts when we come to the house of the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves so that we can love and bring the word of the Lord and bring encouragement to one another. So Paul says here he had no commendation on the way they observed the Lord's table. What would he say? And I have to ask this as I was preparing this. He says, I praise you not. And I have to ask this. What would he say about our communion service? What would he say to us, the way that we do communion? And we basically have two different types of services. We have the Sunday morning where we have the blood and the bread and the body of Christ. And then we have the special services where we come and we have the altar services. But what would Paul say about this? Would he praise us? Or would he say, I praise you not? And we need to ask ourselves that here. Are we doing all we can? Are we doing the very best that we can to observe the table of the Lord? Are we doing the best we can? Am I doing the best I can to prepare you for it? Are you doing the best that you can to come prepared for it too? So that as we come and we partake of it and we minister one to another, then the Lord can move through us and love people. And then he says this in verse 18. For first of all, when we come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. What is first of all? Divisions. Did you read that? Let's all read it together. Let's all read that verse together. Verse 18. For first of all, When ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. The very first thing that he says is bringing the sickness and the weakness and the death is the divisions. The divisions. First reason Paul says that their table was bad was because of divisions. So how important is it to make sure that when we have an ought with a brother or an ought with a sister, when something's going on, how important is it to make sure we get that taken care of rapidly? Can we express enough importance on that? People really do get sick because they get oughts with people. How quickly should we find a common ground of agreement? Do you think that in most of the squabbles and the things that we all go through, the battles that we fight, the times that we get in indifference with people, do you believe that if you were to search and talk with that person or persons long enough, that there would be a common ground there would be some place that we could come together on and get an agreement so that there would not be walls and barriers and divisions as we come together to praise and to worship Him. Don't you think there should be? You see, here's the thing. We all believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is spelled out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, this is the gospel that I preach. Number one, Jesus Christ died and was buried according to the Scriptures. Number two, He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. Number three, He was seen by many. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That He died for our sins, that He was buried, and He rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, everybody in here will agree on that. Nobody in here will argue with me the point that Jesus Christ did not die for our sins, that He was not buried, and that He did not raise again from the dead. Nobody will. Nobody that attends church, nobody that is a believer in Jesus Christ will argue with me. Now, very many believers, unbelievers, would argue with me about that point. That's the gospel. If we can't agree on anything else, we can agree on that. Am I right? And everything else becomes philosophy. Everything else that we do just becomes philosophy. And it's philosophies that divide us. The Baptists have a philosophy. The Methodists have a philosophy. The Church of God has a philosophy. Church at Lafayette has a philosophy. And so we come together into our philosophies. And so what we gravitate to are people that have philosophies like ours. Am I right? And so philosophies is the problem. I'm a firm believer that when we finally decide that the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we'll find a common ground where we can really come together in the body of Christ. So if we can come together in that aspect, I'm a firm believer then to believe that whatever the differences are between brothers and sisters, believers, that they will be, if they'll just sit down and talk the thing through, that they will find some common ground to get rid of that ought and not allow it to come into the house of God and be in division. Do you think so? I do. And until we come to that place, we're still going to die, we're still going to get sick, we're still going to be weak. So it's important. He says, first of all. You know, it's important, interesting, and I was writing in my notes here that people in the church today seem to seek what we can divide about rather than seeking what we can unite about. You believe that? Sure. Hey, I can preach a really good message, and I can say one thing that somebody doesn't agree with, and they've lost everything I've said that was good. And how many of you has allowed that to happen to you? Be honest. How many of you, you've heard me say one thing, and all the rest of you just threw out the window. Sure, we're that way, because you know why? We see the glass half empty. Am I right? The weatherman comes on television. It's not partly sunny. It's partly... Am I right? Because we're focused. We've been trained. Our flesh, our Adamic nature is in us to look at what's wrong rather than finding just what's right and finding the point of agreement and the point where things are good. It's been recently that I've been able to express this in a way that people have been able to hear what I've said. I went 4 or 5 years trying to say it, and I never could say it. But I've always understood that God's judgment in my life or anyone's life was good. Now, it doesn't sound like that, because now I understand that His judgment is for life. And when He judges me, it's to bring me into a greater dimension of life. Do you see that? It's not negative. It's positive. But it's getting into the proper focus. Judgment is for life. God's judgment in our life, when God deals with us about something, is to make life more abundant for us. The glass not half empty, the glass half full. It's not partly cloudy, it's partly sunny. And we've got to begin to think about our relationships with our brothers and our sisters that way. Most of my traits are good. And all those lies they tell about me aren't true. Not all of them. But if you know me and you come to this church, there are probably some things that I do you don't like. Yeah, right. That's true. What I'm wanting to emphasize here is that I can do the same with you. And so rather than coming together for the good, our coming together is for the bad. And so what Paul is trying to work into these Corinthians here is the thought, listen, we got to get to the point. But when we come together, it's not for bad, but it's for good. We all agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, don't we? He's Lord. When you come to this church, what you hear is a little bitty devil and a great big Jesus. He's King and He's Lord. Verse 19 has always been a very interesting verse to me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Must heresies be among us, according to the apostle? Must they be? They must be. Now, we don't like that. We don't like that thought. We don't grasp that thought. But the reason that the Lord allows things to go on in a body, and we talked a little bit about it this morning, that the world, the preachers, the thing that's going on with the preachers, and we talked about last Thursday night and stuff, the reason the Lord allows that is to let those that are real shine forth, be manifest. I want to look at some different translations here, because I really do want this to stick with you. Here's some different translations of that verse. I don't know if you can see it all the way to the back. Hope so. Today's English version says this: no doubt there must be divisions among you so that the ones who are in the right may be clearly seen. The NIV version says this: no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. The Phillips Modern English version says this: I grant that you must be able to make choices or your best men might go unrecognized. The Revised Standard Version says, for there must be factions among you in order that, here's why, those who are genuine among you may be recognized. The Jerusalem Bible says, since there must no doubt be separate groups among you to distinguish those who are to be trusted. The New English Bible says, for dissensions are necessary if only to show which of your members are sound. The Living Bible, but I suppose you feel this is necessary so that you are always right will become known and recognized. The NASV Bible says, for there must also be factions among you in order that those who are approved may have become evident among you. What Paul is saying is that there must be these things among us so that the ones that are really of God and have the anointing of God will shine forth. The word heresy means here just basically means to make a choice. It means to prefer something over something else. What it really means is that we're giving kind of an opportunity to make a choice. And if we take the wrong choice, then we're in a heresy. If we like, it's like a smorgasbord. You know, you kind of pick what you want. And if you don't like the Word of God and you pick what you want and you begin to proclaim that just because you like it and not because it's the Word of God, it becomes a heresy. And he says those things are going to come in a church. Things that aren't true, things that aren't right, they're going to have to happen. They're going to happen so that those that can discern the Word of God, those that can understand and rightly divide the Word of truth, that they can get the Word of the Lord and begin to show forth as the people of God. This word manifest there in that verse. There's the Greek word and the derivation of it. And here's one of the definition is shining. That word means that those that are approved can be manifest. Shining, it means apparent, publicly, that they can be seen. When you trace it back to its root word, it means to lighten, to show. It's not good, but the Lord allows things to come into a body to show off His people, to show off those that are approved. And so, you begin to get a different mentality of things because when people don't totally agree with me, I either know that I could be right or I could be wrong or I could be somewhere in the right or wrong. But what the Lord's going to work through that is He's going to make it clear who is the anointed, who is the one, who is the person. And so when there's divisions and factions, it doesn't bother me. I deal with it. I pray about it. I look at it. I don't ignore it. But I know that what the Lord's going to work through that is either work something in me or out of me, or either He's going to project that I am truly sent here of Him. He's going to do that with this eldership. Either this eldership's of God or it's not. We're either right or we're wrong. And when things come in and begin to work in us, then it's going to work something good into us. And I understand that. It's not bad to me. Thomas, now you're going to have to be a little quiet, buddy. Heresies bring divisions. And what divisions do is remove the not genuine and keep the genuine. So it's okay. Hey, it's all right. Don't get uptight. Verse 20. When we come together, therefore, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. I do want to make notice here that they did come together into one place. They just didn't meet in a whole bunch of different places. They did come together into one place. Do we see this? The body of Christ in Corinth did come together in one place. And then in verse 21 it says, "For in eating everyone taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another's drunk." Now, I want to try to paint a picture because I want us to understand this. I want us to grasp what he's saying here to us. They would come together, and their Lord's Day was a whole day affair. They came together for the entire time to praise and worship Him. And they would bring their sack lunches, their fishes and loaves, and they would come together and they would meet. And some would bring a bunch, and others wouldn't have anything. And the ones that had a bunch would get their little group over here and they'd party. I mean, really party. They had so much that they wouldn't just have a little, Don. They had excess. Be not drunk as unto excess. They had excess and they would get drunk. There was another group over here that didn't have anything. They wouldn't share. Now, the thing that I want to say about this is that I've always said I wanted a New Testament church, that the church that I was affiliated with, either in a leadership role or a membership role, that I always wanted to be New Testament. And my thought of New Testament then was, you know, biblical, first century. But folks, I wouldn't want to be a member of this church. Would you? Would you want to be in a church where there was this one little group, man, they were rich, and they had plenty to eat and drink, and they'd get over there and they'd have their party, and there was these other folks over here, the poor people, and they wouldn't share. And they wouldn't give. They wouldn't communicate. And there was divisions. And I wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that. Would you, Doug? I don't know of a church like that today. Do you know of one like that today? Do you know of a church that if they were having a fellowship supper and if some people brought some stuff and others didn't have anything to bring but they came anyway, that they wouldn't make sure that the people that didn't bring in something got something? Did I say that right? Do you know of a church like that today? Do they have any in Rome like that, Roger? Like that? Here's what I'm wanting to say. Folks, the church is alive and well. The church is moving. The church is strong and doing good. And I don't care what denomination it is. I don't care what affiliation it is. I don't care how religious or non-religious or charismatic or Pentecostal that they are. That's not going to happen today. We're not going to have a bunch of folks coming together and one group have a whole bunch to eat and another group not have anything to eat and them not share. That's not going to happen today. And what I'm wanting us to see, folks, is the church is really going on. And what we hear is all this junk and garbage about how big the devil is and how big the government is and how sorry the church is. I'm tired of that. The church is His bride. And it's time to stop talking about the sorry bride, but the glorious bride and how wonderful she is. You get with Christians And the thing we want to talk about is the bride. And we don't talk good. We see her half empty. Am I right? We see her partly cloudy. We see all her frailties and all her faults. But let me tell you something. She's still coming against the gates of hell. And she's still the salt of the earth. And she's still the light of this world. She is. And if it wasn't for her, where would you be? Where would I be? Where would our kids be? And it's time, folks, that we stop talking about how bad she is and wanting to go back to 100 A.D. and start thinking about right now, 1991, and how great she is and how wonderful she's becoming. I love the church. I do. I didn't always love the church. I used to have to go to church and cut grass all the time. Lawnmower wouldn't work. I didn't like the church when those things happened. Somebody has to hang around and cut the lights off and lock the doors. I always got to do that. That was always my job. Something breaks, you got to fix it. But folks, I'm telling you something. The church is glorious. She's wonderful. She is Jesus Christ's bride. And He died for her. And it's time that we stop talking about her being half empty and partly cloudy and find all her faults and frailties. Start talking about the glorious church without spot or wrinkle that He's going to present unto Himself. And you know what I mean. I'm not saying that she's there. You know what I mean. We're constantly improving. We're constantly changing. But my point is simply and matter-of-factly this. Folks, we are better off than this church was. We have looked at all their problems. Every chapter's a problem. Folks, we don't face many of these problems today. And we've never faced the one I just recorded to you. If we did, somebody wouldn't come here no more. I'm telling you, folks, the church is alive and well, and she's going on. She's glorious. She's glorious. She's glorious. That's it. That's all there is to it. I love the church. I love the church. I love it because Jesus loves it. In the New Testament, the Lord's table surrounded the social meal. They would come in, praise, worship, glorify the Lord, maybe have a teaching, some gifts of the Spirit would function and operate. They would minister, pray for people, heal people, and those kinds of things, and then they would quit, and they'd go eat, and they'd dine. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, because I want to show you something that I really believe the Lord's going to amplify here in some form or way. And then we're just about through. Luke 22. This is the table of the Lord. This is where He instituted the table in Luke's gospel. And I just want to point something out to you. What the Lord did here, and you'll see it as we come together, He came in and He took a cup and he passed a cup around. And then He took the bread and He broke it and He blessed it. And He prayed a prayer. And then they supped, they ate. And at the end of that meal, then He took the cup and passed it around. And what I'm wanting us to see is that the table of the Lord surrounded a meal. Now, of course, in the Old Covenant, with the meal that Jesus had was the Passover meal. It was the Paschal meal. He broke the bread to start with. They ate. And then after He had supped, He took the cup. What we do in our meals, in our tables of the Lord, what we do is that we do it all at the same time. We take the bread and then we take the juice. And that's okay. What I'm wanting us to see is that I would love it to be like this. I would love it that we would bring our sack lunches up here on Sunday. And we'd preach a little while, and we'd minister a little while, and then we'd go eat our sack lunches. And we'd take the bread and we'd break it and we'd pass it around and we'd eat it and we'd bless it and we'd just take the, and then we'd have fellowship and we'd love each other. And then after we got through with that, then we would take the cup and we'd pass it around. And that's what you'll see right here as I read this. But what we want to do is go home and get our nap. And I do too. I like that. Hey, the Falcons usually playing. They're not. Maybe the Braves are. Man, and that's why we're still sick. And that's why we're still weak. And that's why we're still dying. We don't love the body, folks. Like we've got to learn to love the body. We've got to learn to want to be with one another and love one another and care for one another. Come on now. You know I'm right. Luke 22. Let's start verse 14. And when the hour had come, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken a cup, everybody say a cup. A cup, when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Then verse 19. And having taken some bread, they began the meal by passing a cup. Then he took the bread, and having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he read about him with the 5,000 and the 4,000, he lifts it, he would lift it up and he would bless it. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup. Say the cup. The cup. It's not the same cup. This is the cup. After they had eaten. Now, when did he take this cup? After he had eaten. They sat down for the meal. They began it with a glass from the fruit of the vine. He took the bread. He broke it. He blessed it. He said, this is my body. They had the meal. After they had done the meal, then he took the cup, the covenantal cup, and he closed the meal. The final prayer, the final amen to the meal was the cup, the covenant. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. So that's the cup. Now, all I'm wanting us to see here and begin, plant a seed in us, whatever the Lord might want to do here with it, I don't know. But the communion supper should actually be around a meal where we sit and we talk and we share and we bring our food and we commune and we have big times together. That is a real communion supper. What we do on Sunday mornings is we're doing because it's the Lord's Day and it's a part of our worship. What we do on those Sunday nights, when was the Lord's Supper instituted? At day or night? Night. So we come at night and we have a more religious, I suppose, I don't know what to say here, reverent, formal, good time. And it's time coming to the altar. But the real communion supper, the real table of the Lord was around a meal. Was around a meal. And maybe the Lord will take this now and begin to work something into us. And maybe when we have our times of coming together, that maybe we can take the bread and break it and pass it around first. Then have our meal. And then at the end of the meal, we'll take the cup and pass it. But that's the new covenant, Passover meal. It was a social meal. It was built around a meal. It was built around a blessed time of eating together. And that's the covenant meal. The social meal was called the Feast of Love, or a love feast. And you can read about that in Jude chapter 1 and verse 12. Jude writes there about the Feast of Charity in the King James Version, or the love feast in the more modern English versions. So, what Paul is saying here in this chapter is that when you come together, there's no real love being released. There's no real caring. You come together and you're in a form, but the power is going to be in the love. He's going for the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. He lists the gifts of the Spirit, and then in chapter 13 he talks about what? What's 1 Corinthians 13 about? Love. Right in the middle of the gifts and how they function is love. What makes the gifts function is love. When we come in here and we've got divisions and oughts and all this junk that sometimes churches experience, and praise God, we hardly ever do anymore. But when that begins to happen, and this is, I guess, preventive maintenance, but when that does happen in a church, folks, you can forget about the power. Not going to be any power because there's divisions. And what's going to be really working is death, weakness, and sickness. So, he says, leave your divisions at home. said, if you want to get gluttoned up and drunk, stay at home. He says, that's where you do that at. He says, the way you come together is to come together and leave your divisions at home and come together and just love one another. Make sure there's no oughts. No oughts in the body. Number one, conclusion. Number one, the way or the atmosphere that we have in communion is very, very important. The way that you and I prepare as we come for communion is very, very important. And it's a personal preparation. We have to deal with our own hearts. Number two, divisions bring weakness and sickness and death into the body. Folks, we cannot allow divisions to last very long in a body. It's a cancer. It's a cancer. We have to deal with those. Number three, understand we must have heresies. We must have factions because they manifest those that are approved, those that really do shine. Number four, if we disagree, if you disagree with me, if I disagree with you, let's learn to leave that at home. Amen? Let's don't bring it here. Let's leave it at home until a proper time where we can pick it up and find the common ground and deal with it. But we don't want it here. You're mad at somebody, you're mad at me, don't bring that thing here. If I'm mad at somebody, mad at you, I got to learn to leave it at home. And all I got to do when I see you is then love you and not let divisions be in the body.